How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are going to be talking about a bunch of stuff, some of it being politics, others being football, but mainly the Cleveland Browns Stadium. But I wanted to start off with, I guess, the rest of the football stories and see if we get to the politics. The Giants head coach has been fired. Yes, Giants head coach has been fired, which personally I'm a big fan of. I do not like Brian Daboll. I mean, I guess I don't know the man personally. I'm sure he's an all right person, but Jackson Dart got hurt and he went into the tent to the blue. I mean, he got fired or not fired, fined. Him and Cam Scataboo both. There's that, but it was more for me that, like, I really didn't mind that he went into the tent, personally. It was more about the fact that after he had, like, I don't know if it was before or after he had gone, but he was yelling at the team doctor after watching the rest of the drive after they put Russell Wilson in, and you know, he was yelling at the team doctor, and look at that, lo and behold, like, next drive, Jackson Dart's back out onto the field. I don't know. Also, Jackson Dart leads all of his hits with his helmet, which not a thing you want to do. I mean, protect your head at all costs is pretty much the name of the game. I mean, you know, we know about concussions and things of that sort. So I don't know what's up with that. Scataboo again does the same thing. It turns out when he was younger, he used to just run into telephone poles, which is absurd. But, you know, you do you, I guess. That's why he runs people over, because, you know, he used to just truck telephone poles. But anyways, so he also leads it every hit with his head, which again, not good. Concussions are one heck of a thing to deal with. But I think it's good that Brian Daboll has been fired. He hasn't done well at the Giants, but at the same time, I do not know the Giants GM. I will not lie to you. I don't even know his name, but or her name, I suppose. I think there are GMs in the NFL that are women, I think. But Richard Sherman brought up the fact that he feels like the New York Giants GM is isn't doing a good job, essentially, in that if he was a coach, he'd think twice before taking the coaching job in New York at the Giants, which I thought was interesting. I didn't know. I mean, I guess I don't know how that, but I don't know. I just found it interesting because of the way the whole thing played off. Because, you know, after he had got done with that whole you know, phrase there, one of the people on the cast, she said that we're just going to leave that there, and then she went on to move this on to something else. So I don't know that was a popular, but so the New York Jets or Giants, sorry, GM, not doing great, apparently, according to at least Richard Sherman. But like I said, not a big fan of Brian Daboll. I don't think he, I don't know. It seems like he didn't care about the safety of his players all that much, really. I can't say that. He cared about winning more than he cared about the safety of his players. There's a difference, I guess. But, yeah, I think he was trying to save his job. I mean, he's not doing great. Speaking of, I think New York Jets, this time I do mean the Jets, I think they need to fire their head coach. I mean, they're, you know, 0-8 at this point. Or more than that. I don't know why I keep thinking there's only 7 games been played. I think they're 0-9 now. But yeah. So I haven't been pleased with the Jets head coach, but also I didn't expect much from him. They're 2-8, by the way. But I didn't expect much from the Jets head coach. Not because of who he is. I don't really know where he came from or his background or anything like that. More so for the sheer fact that he's coaching the Jets. I mean, it never ends up going well. I had a lot of faith in, I can't think of his name. He was the, defensive coordinator at the 49ers. I thought he was good, but then they ended up firing him, and, I thought, you know, you'll have that, I guess. So I think the GM might be the problem there, and I think sometimes, honestly, that a change of ownership is necessary for teams, but nobody likes to hear that they should sell their team. So, unfortunately, I think a lot of teams are just not going to go well. Similar to like when Al Davis was in charge of the Raiders, they'd always that's when the whole stereotype came around that the Raiders are the quote unquote like or the joke I guess not stereotype but the Raiders are like the retirement home of the NFL because they'd always sign people who are past their prime with the understanding like well if we can make them you know if we can get them back to their prime form we'll be a good you know they'll be good players but they're old and the NFL. You know, there's always going to be somebody younger, faster, and stronger than you are. You can't compete at the top level forever when, you know, you got people coming in. I mean, records are made to be broken. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, they're going to be better. It's just how it works at some point. I mean, there are records who will remain for a long time. Like, I honestly don't see anybody beating the whole... I mean, Tom Brady's got 6 rings. I mean, he's got more rings than franchise, like entire NFL franchises. I don't think that record's going to be broken anytime soon. So there's that. But yeah. And the last thing on the Giants before we start talking about the stadium of the Browns. Bill Belichick is a rumored candidate. I don't know how well rumored is, but. I did read an article that said that Belichick, because he had coached at the Giants previously, and there was, I guess, there was talks of him getting fired from, you know, the Tar Heels, North Carolina. He hasn't been doing well as a coach at North Carolina, but again, I mean, he hasn't really had a chance to build his team yet or, like, get really a grasp on college football. I'm sure he could do it given the time. I mean, he's, you know, one of the winningest coaches of all time. But I think I don't know. I'd like to see him come back to the NFL personally, but... he said that basically he's focused on this season and he's focused on the next opponent and then the opponent after that and then so on and so forth, and that he's going to give everything he has to the team to the Tar Heels, and I mean I believe him I guess. He said that basically you know the essentially you know we'll take that path when we will you know we'll take a path when we get there. So I think Bill Belichick would be a good candidate, but I don't know that Bill Belichick would go to the Giants. Like I said, for the fact that you know there is a good chance that they're the Giants. The Giants haven't done good in the last you know God knows how long. So I mean, probably since they won the Super Bowl. And that's, you know, it's been a minute. But anyways. So, I think that'd be an alright move for the Giants. I don't know if Belichick would take it, though. And honestly, I think Belichick might just retire. He's looking a little rough. So, there's that. But okay. So, I spent a pretty, I don't know, not a pretty substantial. I mean, I spent a good amount of time. Looking at details for the Browns' new stadium. So the Browns' new stadium is going to cost $2.4 billion for just the stadium, but the total build cost is going to be roughly $3.4 to $3.6 billion because they want to spend roughly $1 billion in development around the stadium as well for, like, hotels and parking garages and, you know, things like that, food. Rental cars, you know, the likes. So, you know, you're looking at $3.4 to $3.6 billion for the entirety of everything they want to do. And also, there was $71 million requested for infrastructure such as roadways, as, you know, the Browns game is going to bring a lot of traffic. And it's near to the airport, so if you're flying in, that's a positive for you. But yeah, so of the $2.4 billion, half of it is being provided by the team's owners as well as one second. It's a sports group. I can't think of the Haslam Sports Group. I don't know. I might have said that wrong, but Haslam Sports Group are also helping pay for that. And then 50% of this is going to be paid for by public funding. Now, so of the $1.2 billion, roughly, $600 million of it is going to be, and is already allocated by the state out of unclaimed funds. So there's already $600 million private investment, private monies, I assume, is already there. So, I got like a quarter of it to pay for, I guess. There's still need to figure out the rest of the funds. But, so $600 million from the state, and then Cuyahoga might pay the other $600 million. Now, there is some discussion on this. I mean, the executive of Cuyahoga, I think it, Chris Ronayne, has basically spoken in opposition of using public money in support of relocating the Brown... Well, not really relocating, but, moving the Brown Stadium. But there is also the potential that roughly $422 million will be paid by Brook Park itself, which is where the stadium's being moved to. As of this moment, neither Cuyahoga or Brook Park have taken out a bond. So there's still a pretty substantial portion of the stadium that has not been paid for, or they, at the very least, they don't know. The stadium's not paid for in its entirety nearly at all. I think the first payment made by the Haslam Group is $50 million, and then after that, it's like $10 million a year or something. I don't remember exactly. But I do believe that the first payment they did was $50 million. At the start. So that is a lot of money. So you're looking at $3.6 billion, half of which is being paid for by private money. Like I said, the owners of the Haslam Group. And there are other private interests in there as well. I think it's Huntington Bank Stadium now. I think it's still going to be Huntington Bank Stadium, so I assume Huntington is paying a pretty substantial portion. So yeah, but anyways, as of this moment, there's about $600 million, give or take, that hasn't been provided for, and may not be provided for, but I assume that the Browns will figure out a way to work it out. I do believe they have already purchased the actual land that they want to build the stadium on. So, if that's the case, I hardly see the Browns just letting go of it. Because what are they going to do with all that land? Sell it back? So I don't know how that really works. Now, they did mention that any debt that is incurred from taking out of bonds to pay this would be paid back through things such as they're going to increase admission on taxes on tickets, like admission fees. So they're going to increase admission taxes, sales during the game, parking, hotels, rental car surcharge. So they're going to charge you a fee for renting a car, etc. Just basically anything they can charge you a fee for, they're going to charge you a fee for and tax you extra for. But the extra percentage will go straight towards paying the bond. So I guess I don't know. I guess it depends on whether or not they plan to get rid of the surcharge and all of that good stuff after the fact, or if they're just going to use it as an increased revenue stream. Once they get the hotels up and the parking garages and things, inevitably, even if they lower the taxes, they're going to make money off of it. That was the main reason they wanted to move it now, is there wasn't enough built around it. It was scenic, it was on the lake, but, it is on the lake, I guess, still. This stadium isn't going to be done until projected 2029, so we're looking pretty close to 2030. So it'll be a minute. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, how much are ticket prices right now?
So, I went to a game with my dad and brother, and it was the... So, keep in mind, I mean, it obviously varies based on team and how well the team is doing, but...
And where you sit.
Yeah, and also, like when you buy the tickets, like, there's a lot of... It's like, me, my dad, and my brother, we bought tickets to the Browns-Dolphins game, so they were both bad teams, so tickets were cheaper. But, we also bought them the night before the game. So, I mean, we ended up paying something like $175 a ticket, but we were also, like, I think, basically at the 50-yard line, like, seven rows up. So we had good seats.
I just hate to see ticket prices go up anymore. I mean, like I was telling Scott earlier today, you know, a family of four, if they wanted to go up there, I mean, it's getting to a point where they can't afford it. And Super Bowl tickets, I mean, you might as well forget that unless you're fairly wealthy.
No, there is that. I mean, Super Bowl tickets are, I do believe Super Bowl tickets push like $10,000 for like, for poor seats. So, I mean, Super Bowl tickets are, very expensive.
Yeah, you gotta, have some money to go, and I hate to see that, when it deals to where only the wealthy can do things like that. It used to be set up to, where a family would go to a ball game or something like that, but that don't happen anymore.
Well, I'm not sure really when the prices started to go up, but it's kind of supply and demand. I mean, they keep raising prices, but people keep going to the concerts and whatnot. So, like, the concerts, the football games, the events in general. So, I mean, if the people are going to keep paying for the higher prices, then why would you ever lower them back?
Well, I can see their point. They're out, they're in a business, and they're there to make money, but it's just sad that it's getting to the point where only the elite can go to things like that.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I looked into it, and yes, the Haslam Group has completed the purchase of the land. So it's 176 acres in Brook Park, and that was completed back in June. So they already own the land. So I would find it hard to believe that the Browns aren't gonna get this. I mean, they had to change their plans once, because the. Trying to find the name of the actual airport, but essentially ODOT told them that they might interfere with flight, with air traffic, so they had to build their stadium or like build the field 80 feet below ground level.
That don't sound good.
Well, they had to build. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to see the stadium, I guess. But they're building it 80 feet below ground level, the stadium itself, so that way they could, I guess they. I mean, ODOT accepted the permits the second time around after they made the 80 foot in the ground. ODOT's apparently satisfied with the adjustment. They have the permits. There are lawsuits and things challenging it, but I don't see the lawsuits panning out.
Is it going to be a domed stadium?
Yeah, it'll be domed.
That's the only thing I would worry about is flooding. I'm sure they got some nice, good pumps just in case, but it sounds to me like, it could possibly be a flooding issue, especially, in a disaster. And up there, around a lake, you can get a lot of nice storms off the lake.
Well, it's my understanding, by the way, it's Cleveland Hopkins International, so right now, the Browns are on the lake. If you go watch the Browns, right on the other side of the stadium is the water. But Brook Park is actually inland more. It's in the suburbs.
Well, that'll be better. Does the stadium now ever flood, do you know?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it's right by the water. I mean, I know that they have, I know that, the city councilor of Cleveland was going to pass, I think it was $471 million in renovations, but then Cleveland just opted to move to Brook Park. So I don't know what exactly they were going to renovate, but, you know, $500 million in renovations is a lot of work.
I wonder if the Cavaliers, how good a stadium do they have?
Oh, the Cavs stadium is good. I mean, the Cavs use their stadium for both basketball and hockey.
I was just wondering about them, you know, taking over the Browns, you know, the old stadium.
If
it's any bigger,
the Cavs?
Or something. That's what's going to be, you know, what's going to happen to that stadium, you know?
Well,
is it going to be tore down eventually, or what?
I think they'll probably just use it as a venue for events and see how that pans out. I would find it hard to believe they tear it down. I mean, that's a multi-billion dollar structure. I would find it hard to believe they just tear it down.
Well, they got to find enough uses for it, you know, probably pay property taxes on it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I assume that they'll use it for concerts and whatnot, but, I mean, we are in Ohio, which is, that's, by the way, a plus side of the dome, so, you know, it's climate controlled, it's a dome, so you can do concerts and things in the wintertime, like, you know, concerts, events, and whatnot, and things like that. And also, in order to be eligible to host the Super Bowl, you have to have I don't know the attendance number, but there's a minimum attendance number, which Cleveland does meet. But you have to have a domed roof as well, so the climate doesn't play a factor. So now, once this stadium gets built, and like I said, it won't be finished until roughly, you know, 2029, 2030. But once this stadium gets built, Cleveland will be eligible for to host the Super Bowl.
Well, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? For Ohio, that'd bring a lot of money into Ohio.
It certainly would. I mean, I think that's probably why, you know, DeWine and, I guess, the you know, House and whatnot, the State House, have, you know, allocated the $600 million to it.
Well, it sounds like it'll pretty much probably ain't going to be built in a couple, 3 years, but sounds like it's on its way, if everybody sunk a lot of money into it.
Seems that way.
Okay, you know, politics, you're going to talk about that. I seen where there was people protesting, it was either at the Capitol or the White House, because of their insurance premiums going up. Did you hear anything about that?
I haven't, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, people protest out front of the White House all the time. I mean, they were protesting not long ago for some LGBTQ+ reasoning. I don't remember. I think they were voting against. Oh, I think they were trying to. The Supreme Court was debating whether or not to overturn the ruling that made gay marriage legal.
Well, they didn't overturn it.
They did not. Yes.
No, I heard they did not overturn it.
Yes, they did not.
So Trump didn't get his way on that, but I don't know, I seen one article on YouTube about it, I didn't know, but sometimes, you know, you gotta watch some of these articles, whether they're telling you the truth or not, but.
Yeah, I mean, the internet is a different, different kind of place now.
Okay, well, I'll listen to you.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Bye.
Bye. Alright. So, but yeah, so like I said, I mean, you have to have the domed roof to be able to host the Super Bowl, so I think that that's gonna be incredible for Cleveland when, you know, and I think that once the stadium gets built, because I think it will inevitably get built, there are some legal challenges to it, but I don't see the courts upholding them, I don't know, but, Oh, also, they could host other events as well. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, it's a dome, so it's climate-controlled. They can do things in the wintertime. And to my understanding, they could possibly host NCAA games. I don't know if that's, like, if the home team is, like, I don't know, doesn't have a stadium. Maybe bowl games, because I know if you play in a bowl game, I don't think bowl games are home. Like, if you play in the Rose Bowl or something, I do believe you go to a different stadium. So that could be that as well. So I think it'll be a good money generator, at least revenue for the state and Cuyahoga County. But I don't know that, I mean, they're going to raise taxes. I mean, that's how they said they're going to pay for it. Increased admission taxes on ticket sales, sales during the game, parking, hotels, rental car surcharge, etc. So, you know, anything hospitality-wise or parking, they're going to charge you extra to pay off the levy. Which is, that's pretty rough. I think, at least. But yeah, so in July, there was a class action lawsuit filed in the Franklin County Court of Common Pleas by Ohio residents alleging that the plan violates the state constitution by diverting funds meant for rightful owners to a private benefit because it's unclaimed monies, which is like, you know, forgotten about bank accounts and unclaimed checks and things of that sort. It violates the state's constitution by diverting funds meant for the rightful owners to benefit a private benefit such as the Brown Stadium. I don't know that it violates the constitution of Ohio. I don't really know that. But, I don't see, like I said, I see the stadium getting built. I mean, I think that's what that is. But, and like I said, they did have to lower the field and change the plans because of ODOT so they could comply with the airport. By the way, the stadium is 301 feet in total, but 80 foot of that is below ground, so it's only actually 221 foot above ground. Which I'm interested to see how that works. I mean, you know, usually you're going to have to walk down into the stadium. It's 80 feet's a long way down, I would think. I mean, 80 feet. I do believe that is it as far as that goes. I do believe I already said it, but I guess it's worth saying again. Chris Ronan, the executive of Cuyahoga County, I'm not sure if that's like their mayor, I don't really know what the executive of Cuyahoga County is, but, or I guess what he does, but he is not in favor of the, like I said, the use of public monies to relocate the Brown Stadium. So there's that. Now, that's all I got for football. I'm sure there's more stories of football, but there were a couple things in politics I wanted to talk about. I only have three written down here, but there's there's more. So property in Connecticut is being bought up like crazy. I guess there's speculation that it has to do with the fact that Mamdani got elected in New York because Democratic socialist, I mean, self-proclaimed democratic socialist. So, you know, socialism is, I mean, I don't know exactly how Mamdani's going to run it or try to run it, but usually, you know, higher taxes and then in return, you know, like subsidized things like rent, housing, healthcare, education, transportation, things like that. So, a lot of property in Connecticut, you know, right up the way from New York there, is being bought rather rapidly. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for New York. I mean, it seems like a lot of wealthy people, probably wealthy people. I don't see poor people, you know, I mean, you probably can't afford to buy a house in Connecticut. I don't know what property prices look like in Connecticut, but I know the property market is as absurd as is. So there's that. But so there are a lot of people moving to Connecticut from, I don't know, maybe they might not be moving. Maybe they just want a second home in Connecticut for some reason. But there's that. Also, Trump, this is, obviously different than the Mamdani thing. Trump has recently pardoned a four-page list. Trump has pardoned the four-page list released from his administration, runs to more than... Okay, so he pardoned a four-page list of people, and then it totals up to 70, more than 70 people, including his former lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, and former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. They've all been granted full, complete, and unconditional pardons for their actions in relation to the 2020 vote. So, I do believe this is the group that was, I guess, tasked with perhaps, I don't know, the 2020 vote. So that's, you know, trying to overturn the election, I would guess. But, so yeah. Pardoning 70 people who assisted in, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of pardons anyways. I think I've probably made that known. I mean, it's pardon powers, I don't think, reasonable. But anyways, to pardon 70 people who were stuck with the crime of trying to overturn, misrepresent the vote count, I do believe. I don't think that's, I don't know that that's really great. But I guess at the end of the day, I don't know what you do about it. I mean, they're pardoned now. I mean, I guess you could always challenge the pardons, but it's not gonna do anything, I wouldn't think. So I think that's, I just felt that was worth mentioning. So, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, former Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and, you know, pretty close to 70 other people have been pardoned. I don't know. I certainly think it's not a good look, but I don't think they really care about good looks anymore. But, so, also, the government is about, well, I think the government shutdown, is over. So that's good. I'm glad that happened. But at the same time, I do think that the Democrats probably didn't do themselves any favors. They swept the elections in New York. Well, not New York. New York, New Jersey. I mean, if there was an election, they swept the elections. I don't know. I mean, I just think that you should, I don't know. I'm sure they could have done something. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, I also seen on YouTube where four of Donald Trump's lawyers are being charged for lying to the court. Have you seen anything about that?
I have not.
Keep your eye on that and see if what comes of that. I don't know the particulars to it, but...
Do you know what it would have been like in relation to?
No. I didn't even know that he was currently suing, but Trump's always suing somebody.
Yeah, so, there is that.
If I find anything out about it, I'll call in next week.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the government shut down, like I said. I think that it's, I don't know. I'm glad it's over, I suppose. A lot of people can return to work now and actually get paid. So that's a plus. But like I said, I mean, the Democrats had the leverage there. I mean, you know, people were not looking fondly upon the administration, it seemed at the time. Still not really looking fondly upon the administration. And the only thing the Democrats got is they funded the ACA, so the Affordable Obamacare. I guess it's more known as Obamacare. They funded Obamacare for, I do believe, up until January, in which case, by January, they will vote to, I think it's actually December. They're going to vote to extend it. I think it's December. But they're going to vote to extend it, nonetheless, when they vote. And perhaps, I guess the Republicans say they have this health plan still, so we're going to see how that whole thing works, and we're going to see if they end up actually crafting a health plan. So, I don't know. I'm skeptical, personally. I mean, you know, you have had... Mike Johnson since you know, the shutdown, well, not since the shutdown began, but, you know, pretty deep into the shutdown. But he was saying that, you know, the Republicans have a plan to replace the ACA and that, they would show the plan when the government reopened. You know, government's opened back up now. They haven't showed a plan to my knowledge. I would be interested to see that plan. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene went on The View, I think it was The View at least, and said that there was no plan. They don't have a plan. So I'm skeptical. I mean, you know, it seems like Donald Trump's even most ardent allies are not in favor of what is currently happening. I mean, you have Ted Cruz. He's been an ardent supporter of Donald Trump. I mean, he is. He turned his back on Trump pretty early in the shutdown. Marjorie Taylor Greene, like I said, there's, I do believe, one other that I can't think of the name of. But ultimately, there were, I guess it didn't matter, because there were eight Democrats. Well, I think it's seven Democrats and one independent from Maine. But anyways, so yeah, it's seven Democrats and an independent who is in a caucus with the Democrats. So, you know. But anyways, none of those eight that voted in favor of it are up for re-election in 2026. And I thought that was rather interesting. You know, it seems like, well, I mean, everybody who, now whether or not that's the reasoning, I guess, is debatable, I suppose. But it seems like everybody who is up at for re-election at midterms and has to go back to their voter base and explain the vote. I think that none of those people voted in favor of it. And two of the people, by the way, who voted in favor of it are retiring, and the other six are not up for re-election until at least 2028. So, there's that. I mean, it's not inconceivable that they made the move because they wanted the government to reopen, and they felt that, you know, they didn't have to be reelected, so it didn't really matter at this point in time. You have 2 years left to go. But I don't know. I guess we'll have to see where the midterms fall. I'm interested to see where the gubernatorial election here in Ohio goes. Now, I've said it before. I hope Tim Ryan gets in the race. I'm not a hater of Amy Acton. But I don't know that I like Amy Acton. I dislike Vivek for the sheer fact that he is basically Donald Trump light. Campaigns just like Donald Trump. Even when he ran for president, he, like, quite literally stole, like, one-liners from Trump's first presidential run. It's not, I don't know. Anyways, I just think that, you know, you should have some people with experience in office, and we do not have a candidate with experience, and that's rough. But, like I said, that's why I think that's going to be an interesting race to see how that turns out. It'll be a first, either way, I do believe, it'll be our first non-white governor, or it'll be our first woman governor, I do believe. So that's a positive, I guess. It's a first either way. It'll be a doctor governor. I don't know if that, well, what that says, honestly. But honestly, I guess they're both kind of, well, not really doctor. I mean, Amy Acton is a doctor. Vivek Ramaswamy owned I don't even know if he owned it. He was the CEO, at the very least, of a pharmaceutical company, which I do believe he started. But, you know, CEO and owner are different things, meaning he had a board, so he was a public company. But anyways, I don't know. I just think that it's interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, have you heard about, I don't know how many there was, 4, 8 or something like that, senators or whatever they are, in that bill, they was going to give them $1 million apiece because of investigating that they had in his 2020 campaign or whatever. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not.
Mike Johnson said that he did not know it was in that bill. That bill was pretty lengthy, and he never seen that.
I don't know. I haven't heard that, but I don't know that if that happened, that's a legal thing to do. I mean, you're paying a public official to vote a certain way. That's a bribe. I mean, I don't think there's a different way to see it.
Well, Donald Trump has broken so many laws, don't listen to the courts. I mean, you know, to me, it looks bad because you got that in the bill that they're going to get it. He's wanting the Justice Department to settle $230 million for them investigating him when he left office. So, I don't know if he's ever going to get that, but I also heard that since he's became president, I don't know if it was all last time and this time or just this time, that his wealth has went up $3 billion. That's one thing I heard. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, keep your eyes on that, about those people that's going to be getting that $1 million.
Have you looked at any of the 20,000, or have you, like, you know, heard any reporting on any of the 20,000 newly released Epstein files?
Do what now, Matt?
I said, have you looked into or read any reporting on any of the 20,000 newly released Epstein files?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, they've released some, already since, that lady was in there. But I don't know. They need to release the whole crap now because I'm sure he's been having the Justice Department, FBI, or whoever, you know, had those files, you know, go through them and redact his name. Before they can get through all the files, they should be made release now.
So I looked into the money, by the way, and it says of the 8 known Senate Republicans whose phone records were subpoenaed as part of Smith's probe into Trump's 2020 election interference, only one so far, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, has announced definitive plans to take advantage of the new legislative language that would allow senators to sue the federal government for $500,000 or more if they discover their electronic records were seized without notification. So, it seems like I guess they feel as if they're paying these people because they violated their rights by seizing data, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, just how boldly, how does Trump expect, and he wants to be loved and adored by people, but when you keep doing this, what do you expect of people? He's trying to say that 90% of people, you know, agree with his policies. This is the golden age. You know, we're getting so rich now. Prices at the grocery store are way cheaper now than they ever been.
Well, do you really think he's doing it all to be popular? Like, if he was doing it all to be popular, I don't know why he would have stopped funding on SNAP. I don't know, like, he just does so many things that would upset people that I don't know that he really wants people to like him. I think I don't know. It just seems like if that's what he wants, he's not doing a very good job of you know, making that happen.
Yeah, you just can't keep, you know, making people's lives, you know, so much worse and so much more expensive. I mean, and he'll stand there and lie and say that things are great, you know?
Well,
maybe his base, you know, his base are uneducated people, more or less. And, you know, maybe they will believe all his crap, but I don't know. I think there's time, and they've already been talking about, you know, maybe impeaching him, but, you know, when Democrats, you know, I think have a majority in the House now, I'm not sure, but, you know, they figure why do it, because they've done it twice before in his first term, and the Senate won't hold him accountable.
Well, I do think this time is a little bit different. I mean, the first time it seemed like he was trying to play by the rules at least a little bit. I mean, in the first 100 days, one of the first things he did was try to, like, strike birthright citizenship, which is just, you know, I mean, it's in the Constitution.
That would have to be voted on by, you know, Congress and Senate.
Yes, it'd have to be a whole amendment.
In a way, I agree with that, but then in a way, I don't. You know, like Mexicans or anybody come over here when they know they're pregnant and have their baby over here, you know, and so they'll be a citizens, and they think that that will enable them to stay over here because they're the parents. Well, that does happen, but I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how far back do you go?
Yeah.
How
far back will you go?
It would be a hard thing to enforce.
And that's the other thing. ICE is going to be investigating, enforcing that now, and grabbing people off the street without any due cause, or, you know, just sounds like possibly a good thing, but then enforcing it could just be a bad thing.
Well, I mean, I guess it all depends on how you go about it. I mean, a lot of people voted on Donald Trump for his immigration policy, and now that he's enacted his immigration policy, they feel that they were lied to, and that they, you know, I mean, immigration is the only thing that's gone down in his term, and he's underwater on immigration because people don't like how he's handled it.
Right. You know, I was in a little bit in favor of his cracking down on illegals over here, but the way he's cracking down on it is wrong. Now, I didn't vote for the man, but, you know, I could agree, you know, that we need to do a little bit better jobs, you know, on immigration and people coming into our borders, you know, especially, you know, any terrorist group that's from the Middle East over there, you know, they could go to Mexico and get in a border. They could go to Canada and come down, you know, in the border. But the way he's doing it is just wrong. I told Scott he better not go over that tanning booth and get a tan, because if ICE comes to Marion, they're going to grab him.
Well, that's interesting.
Tan, you know, and with J.D. Vance's wife being, is she Indian, India, or some country over there?
I don't know exactly where she's from. I do believe she's Islam. I don't know. Usha Vance. I don't know where she's from.
And you think she'd be all up in arms over this policy? You know, how they're going after the people.
Usha Vance, by the way, I looked it up. She's also American.
The people in El Salvador or whatever, wherever they're sending them?
Yeah, El Salvador, there's, I guess, three countries or so.
But what are they doing with them? They still in prison?
I looked into it a little bit. I know the Human Rights Watch, the Human Rights Watch has been, keeping an eye on Trump's immigration, and they say that, there's a word I can't remember that they use. It's essentially like sending somebody who's in a discriminated group back to the country where they were discriminated on. Basically, you're subjecting them to torture, which the Human Rights Watch is not fond of because, they're a discriminated group in the country you're sending them to. But also, there was a report, I don't remember which of the countries it is, but one of the countries, the first thing they do when the immigrants get there is basically give them a cookie, they call it a cookie, I don't know what it is exactly, but give them a cookie and basically offer them to get them back to their home countries or help them get citizenship in that country.
Well, if that's happening, it might not be bad.
He's sending them to like three or four different countries, though. That's just one country. So I don't know. I mean, the Human Rights Watch doesn't keep eyes on things for no reason.
But what's in that? Why give them a cookie? What's in that cookie?
Well, I think it's just like, I mean, they're just feeding them essentially.
Nice giving them something like that, or ho-hos, or, candy bar, or something like that, but most of those people that went over there, they've had cookies and candy bars,
Yeah.
I wouldn't eat it. I'd be worried they put something in it. really?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, I guess, impossible. The Human Rights Watch has extensively documented the Trump administration's deportation policies. Shackled flights. Also, they're sometimes in basically straight jackets for, the entirety of the thing. One of the prisons that they're put into in Costa Rica is a converted factory with extreme heat and mosquito infestations and no child education.
Well, I just hope those people, they ought to go back to the country that they came from, because they still have citizenship. I just worry, eventually, they're going to be made slave labor or something. Unless, I don't see those countries spending a lot of money on those people, Are we paying them to house them, or,
Well, I don't think we're giving them nothing. I mean, I don't know exactly what the deal is, but I wouldn't think that they're just taking these people on for nothing.
Yeah, they're not doing it for nothing. There's got to be an incentive to them. But, okay, well, it's past your time.
Yep, we were just talking.
Well, sorry to hold you over.
Oh, no, you're fine. Alrighty.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Yep, have a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, well, so, yeah, I mean, it's interesting, I guess. It's rough. But, nonetheless, I guess, we persist. I appreciate everybody. What was that? I appreciate everybody for listening tonight. I hope you all had fun as I did. Join us next week, Monday through Friday. We have live shows, and so stay tuned for that. Live 24/7. Don't miss anything, and be sure to stay tuned. Thank you, and good night.
35.21